Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here with a very talented man, and he has been at it for a long time for a young guy, and a veteran of stage and screen. And I think he started out on Broadway, and he had a real, very impressive career, and he went to screen. So many people know him from Days of Our Lives, Valley of the Dolls, too. He had a long run there, and so many other shows. But lately, everybody's talking about After Forever, and why not? It's absolutely terrific, and it's the winner of 5 recent Emmy Awards, and, of course, 1 for his work there. He is absolutely wonderful. Kevin Spiritus is our very special guest. Thrilled to have you, Kevin. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Frank. I'm great.
Well, was this a surprise out of the blue type success, or were you expecting from the second you laid eyes on everything, and the cast, by the way, which is wonderful. The casting people have to get tremendous credit here. But was this a surprise to anyone?
Yes, a big surprise. My collaborator and writing partner, producing partner, Michael Slade, who lives in New York, I live in Los Angeles, we created this little tiny show called After Forever, about two men who had everything in life and their relationship. They had love, they had great friendship, they had great jobs, and everything was very storybook perfect until one day, spoiler alert, Jason gets diagnosed with a terminal cancer diagnosis and dies. And Brian's whole life is turned upside down. And then it's his trying to get back to finding some sort of peace and harmony and returning to healing and moving on after the love of his life dies. We wanted to write that story. We wanted to create that little story told from two gay men's perspective, because we didn't feel that stories for gay men of that age, not unlike women, is nowhere on the creative canvas. The storytelling kind of drops out. You either have the young twink or the young hot, you know, buff gay boy down, you know, in the circuit parties, or you have the old 80-year-old man down the hall with cats. And we felt that this was just something that we wanted to shine a light on, and we wanted to tell a story that was personal to Michael and then personal to myself. We had never met until one day in the gym about 4 or 5 years ago, and the only thing that brought us together was that Michael Slade used to write for Days of Our Lives when I was still acting on Days of Our Lives, so that was sort of the connection. But we started to edit it together. We started to, you know, enter into some film festivals, and we started to get some nice little response here and there. And we were thrilled that this could be received as well as it was. And then when the Emmy nominations came out last year, we had 8 Emmy nominations, and that was just unbelievable. That was like, wow, I can't believe it. And we took home 5. This year we have 6 Emmy nominations that are coming up in a few weeks now. So we're very excited. We call it our little show that could.
Yeah, well, listen, it's terrific. And if you think about it, it's surprising because we're in the 2020s. And the fact that you could say this is groundbreaking, because it is actually, right? You don't have this in the history. You don't have two men at this age group having
Correct.
This story. And well, you know what?
Correct.
You know what's going to happen now? All of a sudden, there's going to be a lot of stories because people are going to realize that there's interest and that society has grown and whatever you want to call it. But it's amazing.
Well, wouldn't that be a remarkable trend that we were helpful in starting? You know, at a certain age, I sort of just didn't want to worry about, you know, what kind of story was okay for a quote unquote leading man to talk about or to express. And I was just ready to jump in. And Michael so beautifully was able to help find characters and create characters that were three-dimensional and were real people. And we put them all together into this little melting pot of story, and we're very proud of it. It's Michael and I constantly say it's the proudest thing we've ever, you know, it's the greatest project we've ever been, you know, proud of.
Listen, you should be on every level. Kevin Spiritus is our very special guest. We're talking about After Forever, but what a long list of credits this man has, and a career he had even before the screen. He just had a wonderful Broadway career, and just a very talented guy who, I'll tell you what, is, you know, they're breaking ground here, and absolutely tremendous work here. Everybody on After Forever, the whole cast is terrific, and the writing is fantastic, and it's just great. Kevin Spiritus is here with me, Frank McKay. Are you amazed, and not to get too political here, right, but are you amazed that marriage equality is still an issue in certain states? It's illegal, right? It's illegal in how many how many different places? I mean, it's just crazy that
I'm going to answer this question in a very large umbrella answer, because I think you'll see that even in the work that we do in the series, the series is a love story. It's told through the story of two gay men, but it's really a love story. Which is universal, and then the story embraces loss. So it's about loss. Everyone in our life is going to go through some sort of, you know, grand, you know, immense loss. So this is a universal theme story. My answer to your question is this: any topic, any subject, any area of life that separates, singles out, or segregates and looks past we all being one is, in my mind, unacceptable. So that's my answer to inequality for, you know, gay marriage. I mean, we are free people. We are people who are here to be able to do what we want, and we are all the same. We come from the same source. We come from the same place. And I don't care if your skin is a different color, if your sexuality is different. We're all the same. And that's why I think back to why this series After Forever, this little tiny short form series, is so universally celebrated, is because people feel that they're not just watching a story about two men, they're watching a love story that has to deal with human issues.
It's crazy that we're having this conversation, and it's.
I agree. You know, I agree.
We're not laughing all the way through. It's because it's not funny, of course. But I'll tell you, 10 years from now, I'm imagining we're all going to say, "Really, really, this was an issue."
I pray it's not even 10 years from now. I pray it's sooner than that. I mean, it took me a long time to become comfortable with my sexuality, to become comfortable with my core being of who I was, because the world around me was still very judgmental, very homophobic, and very, very, if you're not of a certain, if your life is not stacked up and you're not a straight white male, and you can't succeed. And I think just after experience for me in my path, in my growth, it took me a lot of, small lessons along the way, but I just found that I liked who I was. And even when I was accepting my award last season, last year, for the Daytime Emmys as Outstanding Actor, Lead Actor, I brought Mitchell Anderson up on stage with me because I wanted to share the award with him. And I wanted to thank him, because had you told me 25 years ago I'd be able to stand up on stage and thank my leading man, you could have blown me over with a feather. So what a great full circle, you know.
Yeah, terrific. And I'll tell you, my wife and I, when we were explaining to our young kids, I just remember the expression on their faces when we were explaining that at one time in the Deep South, not too long ago, in my lifetime, I'm 53, so, just almost in my lifetime, there were bathrooms for African-American people that that said colored on it. And they men and women, because they were African-American, had to go. When we explained this to even 9-year-olds. They looked at us like we were out of our minds, like we were from another planet. And I mean, here we are still in 2020 talking about who can marry who and who can't marry who. Just amazing. Kevin Spiritus is here with us. Frank McKay, thrilled to have him. A very talented man. And I'll tell you what, After Forever is terrific. It is a must watch, and I can say that guilt-free because everyone's supposed to be in watching TV and not, you know, even though it's loosening up a little bit, you know, you, if you're going to binge watch something, it's After Forever for sure. And again, Frank McKay here with the very multi-talented Kevin Spiritus. What can you say changed since the start of this? I mean, you put it out. And, you know, you kind of hope that you're going to get that niche and it's going to catch on and so forth. But then all of a sudden, the Emmy nominations start coming in. And it's like, wow. What's changed, if anything, in your mind about how to approach the show as it goes on? Is it tempting to change or to be affected by it? And is there a part of you saying, let's just keep doing what we're doing? It's going right. Just let's not mess around.
Well, I think there's a lot of that question. There's a lot of parts to it, and a lot of yes, and a lot of no. First of all, for those who are listening, After Forever is a short form series. Each episode, each season. Let me back this up. After Forever is a short form series that has 8 episodes each season so far, and each of those episodes is about anywhere from 9 to 12 minutes approximately. So they give and take, they vary. And the story is a short form story telling, and you can binge the entire first season and then separately the second season in about an hour and a half. So this is a very, very specific way to express ourselves through this content. We found that this was a very interesting and somewhat excitingly challenging way to tell a story. I think we wanted to tell our story. We wanted to tell the story that would never be told on a network show. You just were not going to get two men who were both in their prime and virile and excited and sexy and all to do what they're doing at 52 or 3 years old. And we thought if we took that to the network, they would rewrite it, they'd soften it, and they just, you know, would dull it down. So the excitement to tell the story as boldly as we tell it and as honestly as we tell it is a very, very important step for us. And we want to continue to do that. When we were breaking down the scenes and putting together the story for season one, we found that if the story were to continue on past into a second and third season, we would take some of the content we were coming up with and save it for season two or save it for season three, because there was just too much to talk about and to put into the pot. So I think what we're doing is just sort of, we are creating our story as honestly and as protectively as we can, and that's what we stay to do. If people like to say they love it, they are excited and they're moved by it, great. We just keep telling our story, what's important and personal to us. So
has anyone on the crew, anyone involved, whether it's Jennifer or Tina, who are the two directors, are any of them saying, see, I told you, I knew this was going to happen? Is anyone saying that they told you so? They knew this was going to happen.
Oh, gosh. Jennifer Pepperman is our director from season one, and Tina Cisa Ward is our director from season two. Together at different times, I think everybody was just very committed to doing solid, strong, and honest work. I think everybody who saw the end project or the finished product, would. I'll even say this: when Michael and I created the season, first season, and we had a screening for cast and crew, we were so used to sitting in front of a tiny computer screen and editing and making sure our final notes and our final edits were in place, and color correction and sound, and you get so focused on the creation of what you're doing. Until we saw it on the large screen at this theater we had rented to do season one, we were both kind of like, oh my gosh, did we do that? Like, we were sort of able to step out of it. It wasn't really until the film festivals and the wins for outstanding web series or best director or a couple of acting, those moments were like, oh, people are responding. So I think we were kind of just committed to doing great work. I think everybody in the cast, actors, crew, cinematographer, everyone wanted to be there. Everyone loved the story and they wanted to take part and they wanted to create. And I think that came from just a group of people who felt this story needed to be told. And as I tell Michael Slate over and over again, I said, I could have been on the moon and we still would have crossed paths. We still would have had our universal crossing point, because I believe that story was supposed to be created and I believe the story was supposed to be told.
I've had Meg Whitman on the show and she's, from Quibi. And when you talk about the format, what it is, it almost seems like a perfect fit for Quibi. And again, if you can't, respond to this, don't. But was there any outreach from Quibi on?
No. There's been no outreach from anyone actually yet. The truth be told is we Michael and I and our producer Allison Benor, we own the rights to our show and we self-distribute through Amazon, and it plays in two countries. It plays in the UK and the United States. So at this time, if you're out there listening, folks, we're still looking for, worldwide distribution. But right now, that's also saying something to me, that this little tiny market is becoming so excited and they're so well receiving of our content that I believe at some point when we have all of these seasons in line, we will be able to branch out. Quibi is a very interesting thing. I have not yet gotten into it because I've just been in quarantine working on so many other things.
Yeah,
but
right.
I'm excited to see how that works. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, all of those, they all would have a beautiful place for After Forever to fit in. And I think it's just trying to find out where that would be and to find the people who can help that happen. So if you're out there listening, please give us a call.
After Forever, the little show that could, and that's for sure.
Yes.
5 Emmy wins. Just amazing. And wow. I didn't even realize you're self-distributing through Amazon, which is just terrific. So many people listening are like, wow, these guys, I'm sure people are cheering you on even more than before when they hear the story. And this isn't like it was laid out on a silver platter for you by any means.
It was not.
You're grinding, just amazing. Frank McKay here with Kevin Spiritus, the very successful After Forever is our subject. And again, you know him for so many years on Days of Our Lives, Valley of the Dolls. Again, it's a mile long. I won't go into his credits until later. But After Forever is the subject, and it is terrific. And it is going to be here for a long time and maybe change things around. Frank McKay here with Kevin Spiritus. I'm surprised, and again, I'm not disparaging Quibi, but how forward thinking, and think of the people involved, Jeffrey Katzenberg, right, and Meg Whitman. Just think of what it would have meant for Quibi if they would have picked you up before the 5 Emmy wins, and what it would have done, and how it would have launched. And again, it's right there. And the only reason I'm singling out Quibi is because of the time. It's these 10-minute shots, and you guys are there. But, I mean, wow, what a – and again, who am I to second-guess Jeffrey and Meg? But what a coup it would have been.
I don't disagree with you. I think, again, there's room for everything. There's room for all of it. And, here's the interesting thing. If you want to flip that scenario, 25 years ago, maybe even 19 or 16 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, people were not capable of creating content and getting it distributed on their own. The world has changed. As you know, you're talking about, you know, teaching your children, you know, your segregation and back in the day when we were kids, there were bathrooms that were for African Americans and not. But it does not go unnoticed that we all have phones in our hands now. We all have the capability and the ability to press a button and to film something. The industry, the revolution and the boom of technology has brought it to everybody in their own house. Especially, look at the pandemic. Look what's happening during this crazy COVID-19 virus. We are forced to be creative from our house with our computer. So that said, we had the ability to tell a story the way we wanted to tell it. And people in the higher ups and the great big movie studios and television studios, they don't want to take a risk or a chance on something that they haven't created. So we now are the responsible people, we as a whole, bringing them content. And that's what we're finding out. Content is king. And hopefully, and there's a lot of content out there, and I do not at all think all of it's worthy, and I don't think all of it is unworthy. I just think that the content that is moving, that is personal, and that is heartfelt, and is telling a story, and hopefully inspiring and healing in some capacity, will rise to the top. And that's where Michael and I are constantly inspired to keep creating new story.
Michael Slade is Michael, if you're just joining us, and Kevin Spiritus is the voice that you're hearing. If you walked away, Frank McKay reminding you all, Kevin Spiritus is our very special guest. You're listening to Breaking It Down, and he is the co-creator of a wonderful show that is just wildly successful. And it's the little show. He said it, and I'm kind of stealing it, but it's the little show that could. And wow, is it. It is 5 Emmy Awards just out of the box, and probably people were like, wow. Oh, my God, what happened here? Go ahead.
Frank, can I give a shout-out to the extraordinary cast we have involved in
Please,
the series?
It's Would a you dynamite, mind? Dynamite crew.
So my leading man, Mitchell Anderson, who came back from retirement. He used to be on Doogie Howser and Party of Five. Mitchell Anderson is my my leading man. He's outstanding in this role. There's Katie Huffman from Producers on Broadway. Anita Gillette, Lenny Wolpe, Michael Urey. There's the incredible Mary Beth Peel from Dawson's Creek and The Good Wife. We've got another Mike McGowan plays my boyfriend / hopefully new partner. We'll find out at the end of season 2. Mike McGowan is Michael McElroy, Jim Newman, Jonathan Rayson, Peter Kim, Jameson Stern, Robert Emmett Lunny, David Dean Petrell. This cast we are so grateful for. And and this season, Mary Beth Peel was nominated for Best Outstanding, they say. Outstanding Supporting. Yep. Outstanding. Oh, my gosh. Hold on.
Supporting Actress?
No. Let me go the other way. Yeah. Katie Huffman was nominated for Outstanding Lead Actress. Lenny Wolpe was nominated for Outstanding Supporting Actor, and Mary Beth Peel was nominated for Outstanding Special Guest in their roles. So we're very excited. We also got nominated for Art Direction, for Writing. Michael and I got nominated for Writing, and of course the show got nominated once again for Outstanding Digital Drama, and we are so proud. So very exciting.
That was the one you guys must have been just jumping for. I mean, all of it, but I mean, Outstanding Digital Drama. I mean, there's a lot of competition there, especially now. Again, Frank McKay here with Kevin Spiritus. After Forever is the show. I wonder, and again, keep in mind we're like all in the family started, and it,
yes,
it started
yes.
as like, you know, like I kind of think of you guys, and even though it's a million, you know, it's light years away as far as what kind of show it is, but in the sense, in when you in early 70s, when you're seeing Carol O'Connor there, I mean, they were threatening the people, the jobs of the people that brought All in the Family there, because it was so outrageous. I you know, saw a documentary where the vice president said to the guy who brought the show, he said, "We're going to forget that this ever happened. We're going to make believe that this never happened." And then they walked away. And then again, that was kind of the little show that could do. And it ended up in, you know, in summer, you know, as a summer replacement for something, and then it just took off. But once it did, it was the award shows that legitimized it, and then all of a sudden, everybody wanted. Of course, the network then embraced it tremendously, and the people, of course, embraced it because it was excellent, it was great, and so forth. But and it was groundbreaking. But everybody wanted to get on the show as a guest star, and I'm kind of wondering if you and Michael are going to get that now from different people. You know, you mentioned Doogie Howser just in passing. I wonder if Neil Patrick Harris, you know, or something would want to do a guest starring role, and all these different people might want to, because of what, you know, what the show is breaking, you know, what ground the show is breaking.
I think you have a really interesting, well, yes, we are welcome to having anyone and everyone who finds their way to the show, and if they like it, and they would like to be on it, of course, let's discuss, let's talk. Here's the great thing. Norman Lear created All in the Family, and it was groundbreaking, not just because it was funny and not just because it had a great cast. The things that they were talking about and discussing in story was on everyone's mind. And it was that personal and that specific that it affected everyone. And again, I go back to, we are all the same. We are all people who wake up in the morning, you know, we put on our pants one leg at a time, and we all have to deal with drama. We all have to deal with love and loss. And if you haven't already experienced loss in your life, God bless you, and it's still, life is sort of in one way still kind of remaining pure. But I'm going to guarantee you, whether it's a great teacher that you had in the past, a grandparent, a sibling, a parent, a partner, a child, a grandparent, you know, we all are going to experience loss. And that is something that we kind of take a silent pact and not talk about until it's really about to happen. So we don't say that we've written the handbook. We haven't given you a map, but this is just a little inside peek at this particular couple and this world of friends that this gentleman's going, you know, has around him that are dealing with this particular loss. And I think that, again, it's personal and it's real, and it's from our hearts. I think it's going to universally relate to anybody.
Yeah, no question. No argument here. I'm in your 100%.
I'm preaching to the choir. Is what
yeah,
you're saying?
No question about it. Kevin Spiritus again is the voice that you're hearing. If you're just joining us or turning on your radio a little late, Kevin Spiritus is here, and you know him so many years from soaps, One Life to Live, Days of Our Lives, and certainly now. Hopefully everyone's going to say, "Oh yeah, Kevin from After Forever." That's coming soon, and you know, with 5 Emmy wins to its credit, After Forever is certainly a mover and shaker. It's on the run, and it is on the rise, big time. After Forever is a must watch for everyone. Check it out, and it's the little show that could, and tremendous, groundbreaking. Kevin Spiritus is here. He's the co-creator with Michael Slade, Frank McKay. With Kevin, Michael, or you, who was more optimistic about the future of the show? Was it basically equal, or were one of you thinking, you know, more? Well, let's just do it. Let's make it good, and we'll make our statement. What was the other one saying? No. I think this could take off. What was the, if you don't mind, you know, what was the inner conversations like?
I think that's a great question. When Michael introduced himself to me at the gym that one day and said, you know, hey, I used to write for you on the soap, you know, and we kind of had a chuckle about it. And after I had asked him what he had been up to and what he was involved in now at that time, my main question was he working on another soap at this time? And he had said he was not. And since soaps were kind of falling away and dying out, I said, hey, want to create a new one? And we just laughed at that. Like, but I was very, very pro web series and digital series. I had worked on one of them already, and a friend of mine had created this very wonderful story, and he had involved me in it, and I saw that it could be done. And I said to him, I want to write a story about gay men, you know, who are going through the world of dating. And he was intrigued because he had wanted to write a story about gay men of his age, our age, same age basically, our early 50s. And we wanted to give light to that. And I was very determined to find a role that I could jump into because the roles were not coming down the pike with my name on it anymore. And we started to have a couple conversations about what that would be like and what kind of stories we would tell. And as we learned about each other's life's experience, we started to incorporate that. We kind of just, from a 50-50 point of view, went, hey, let's write this story. We wanted to create this content. So I think each of us have been absolutely supportive along the way. Michael has a very, very good eye and voice for moving story forward with, you know, his beautiful words. He's a great wordsmith. I'm like, come on, let's get it done and let's do it. And we'll put on a show. We each balance each other out. So I can't say that there was one less or one more than the other, but we both believed in the project, and we both believed that if it could get eyes on it, we knew it could feel and reach an audience that would be accepting and, you know, somewhat successful.
Amen. You got there.
Amen.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier, you said the line, content is king. There's a second part of that that's kind of said with a wry eye, and it's content is king, but distribution is King Kong. And you did it with...
I'm going to steal that.
Yeah. Well, what was I say? You did it with self-distribution. I mean, that's what's standing out to me. Like, this success is coming with self-distribution from Amazon. And Amazon's terrific. But just think about it. How many people are out there that are trying to do something out of the box, that are trying to do, and I hate to use the term out of the box, but you really, I mean, let's face it, something that's not cookie cutter, and they're afraid because then they're going to have to, try to dig around and find distribution. The fact that there's so much over-the-top television now with Netflix and Amazon is very encouraging. But one of the shows, and prior to even talking to you, the first time we're talking here, I was kind of thinking of you guys in the same term as Hollywood. You know, the recent limited series, which I think is terrific. On
the Ryan Murphy show.
Ryan Murphy, yeah.
Yes.
And what he did.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it yet.
And I won't spoil, but to people out there. Basically, what he did, what Ryan Murphy did, is a what if Hollywood, and Mira Sorvino is the one, she was on the show not too long ago, and she's the one who kind of told me this, and she said it before it even came out, so I don't feel like I'm spoiling, but she said Ryan Murphy did kind of a what if Hollywood back after the war, after World War II, wasn't homophobic. What if they weren't anti-black?
Yes, yes.
What if they weren't anti, taking a step, trying something to live. What if they weren't? And that's where she went, Mira, when she was talking to me, and that's where Ryan Murphy went ultimately with it. And it's fascinating the way they did it. And again, but it's what if Hollywood wasn't anti-black? What if they weren't anti-gay at that time? the studios, the bosses right. could have controlled what happened. And again, I don't want to spoil Hollywood for people because they should really watch it. But what happened is they made that point to prove that the Hollywood bosses could have changed, and they couldn't have, they didn't have to be controlled by the bigots at that time and so forth and so on. But here we are. Here we are now. We're in the same situation with you guys. And again, fortunately, we're in 2020. I don't think you guys could have made this in 1990. I mean, just ask Ellen DeGeneres if you could have made
this. Yeah, I agree. I don't think we could have made this any time sooner than we made it. I think everything in its season. But I believe that you really get... I'm 57. If you would have told me this would have happened, you know, 20 years ago, if you would have told me this would have happened, I'd be, no way. But what I'm finding out, and I think as we all experiencing more, as we experience more life as we go along, we realize that things are changing. Things are constantly changing. Things are constantly evolving. And this was made exactly when it was supposed to be made. That's how I kind of look at it. And it was not only because it was ready to be told, but I think it's because Michael from his world and Kevin from his world, they met and they came together and they were ready to express this part of their story. And I can say for myself, the stories that move me and excite me and inspire me are always those heroic journey stories. I mean, even when I'm watching an old episode of Oprah on the talk show or you know, any of these talk shows where these people are telling these extraordinary stories about overcoming a situation or overcoming a loss or you know, coming out, I was always so impressed by the bravery and the courage that these storytellers possessed. And they weren't even telling stories, they were just telling their story on a talk show or in an article in a magazine. And those are the things that always I held on to and I was moved by, because that's the best theater. Something that arrests me, something that grips me, because my heart is locked in the same place that the character's heart is locked in. And I think, and I will say this, some of the extraordinary fan letters that we've gotten, yes, we've gotten letters from older gay gentlemen who said, I lost my partner years ago. I was finally able to take my wedding ring off after 3 years of his death by watching your series. I mean, that was such a compliment in some roundabout way, because they felt that there was a way in. But there was one young man who wrote a letter to us saying that by watching our story, he was now able to maybe understand the way his dad must be feeling after the loss of his wife or this young boy's mother.
Wow.
And I thought, if that's what our story is doing, then we're doing something right.
Well, you're doing
that's all I can say.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of things right. And I got to let you go. You're absolutely terrific. We got about a minute left. I appreciate your time here. Kevin Spiritus is the voice that you're hearing. He is absolutely terrific. And he... And Michael Slade, and we talked about the cast. He mentioned the cast earlier. It's just a terrific job,
Mr. Frank McCoy. Thank you for having me. I want to thank you for taking the time. And please, anybody who has not seen the series, you can find it on Amazon Prime. And if you do watch the series and you like it, please let us know. You can write a review on Amazon. They'd love to know that. It helps us with our what do you call that? The little number that counts up in it.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name right now, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, how about a quick website or a social media site you can give us for you guys?
Sure. AfterForeverTheSeries.com. You can find us on Facebook at After Forever The Series. And again, you can see the whole show on After Forever.
Listen,
I'm Amazon Prime.
Well, listen, what a job you guys have done. Five Emmys is usually a big deal. This is a really, really big deal coming from where you came from, and without a big major production company behind you. Just what you did was just absolutely wonderful. Congratulations
to
you, Michael, and everyone else. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Frank.
Kevin Spiritus, everyone, has been our very special guest. And wow, check out his show. It's After Forever. You know him from so many years of the soaps, Days of Our Lives, One Life to Live, and Valley of the Dolls was another one. It's just so many credits that he has. But so often, people that had so much success on the soaps, they go off or they kind of ride out into the off into the sunset. But how about how about starting a groundbreaking show that that wins Emmys right out of the box, and something that is talking about issues and subject matter that that just aren't talked about at this time? That's using your experience and your fame to get to a better spot. And Kevin Spiritus did that, and Michael Slade, the co-creators of After Forever. It's a groundbreaking show. It's a must-watch for everyone. Check it out on Amazon, and absolutely terrific. And a big congratulations to them and everyone on the staff. Big time. Five wins, five Emmy wins, and just absolutely terrific. Kevin Spiritus has been our very special guest. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.